Well, good morning. It's really good to be here. I love it every single week that we get to come and together and worship and hear God's word. And every once in a while, I get to come up and share what something that God has shown me. And I'm excited about that. So let's pray over our time. Father God, I just thank you so much for who you are. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth in it, Lord God. And I pray that this morning, as we hear from your word, Lord, I pray that it would pierce our hearts. Lord, that we would know you better because we have listened to your word. We have heard your word, Lord God. I pray that you would speak to each person individually this morning and that you would bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn in your Bibles to chapter, you have to guess the book. No, Genesis chapter 28. As I have been spending time with the Lord lately, he's been taking me through a process of examining my faith and examining myself and my responses to him and how I walk that out, how I walk out what I believe. And I think today that he is calling all of us to do that. And so I actually knew that I was going to be speaking today, and I had my message all figured out. And I sat down and wrote it all out. And then God said, just wait a moment. And he gave me a whole other message. So so I hope you guys are okay, because you're going to have to listen to me next week too. So I think if we were asked, that we would say that we believed God, like we believe what he says. Would we say that? Like, I think, you know, most of us would say that we believe that God's word is true and that we believe what it says. I think most of us would say that God is trustworthy. I hope all of us would say that, but most of us would. And that we can take him at his word. And so this morning we're going to learn about, talk about taking God at his word. And I'm hoping that it will challenge us a little bit to see if that's really true in our lives. Anytime that we examine anything in our lives, it should bring us to the word of God. It's the ultimate truth in our lives and in our faith. And so it needs to be an active part of what we do to grow our faith. So we're going to go there now. In Genesis chapter 28, we find the story of Jacob. And many of you know the story of Jacob. He was a twin, the younger twin, and he sounds kind of like he was a sneaky guy. He managed to trick his brother out of his birthright when his brother came to him wanting a simple bowl of stew. And later, his mother talked him into tricking his father Isaac out of the firstborn blessing. So poor brother Esau, he got the short end of the stick, and he missed out on a lot because his brother Jacob and because of his own mother. But God had a plan. And there came a time shortly after that his mother, Rebekah, heard that Esau was going to kill Jacob. And so she talked Isaac, her husband, into sending Jacob away under the premise of finding him a proper wife. And so we pick up the story in chapter 28, verse 10. And I'm just going to read here. I'm just going to read for a little bit. So through verse 22, I believe. So Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. And when he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. And taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and laid down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And there above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All people on earth will be blessed through your offspring. Yeah, through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. And when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. So early the next morning, Jacob took the stone that he had placed under his head, and he set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it, and he called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow and said, if God be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. So Jacob had a dream, and when he woke up, he realized that the Lord was there. And his response was he made a vow to the Lord. And he said, Lord, I'm going to take you at your word. If you're going to do all that you're saying, I'm going to make you, you're going to be my God. And I will commit to you a tenth of whatever you give me. So from there, Jacob goes on, finds a wife. He actually finds two wives and goes through a ton of things. And eventually, after years and years, God calls him in a dream to go back to where he came from. And God says to him in Genesis 31:13, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now leave this land at once and go back to your native land. So God reminded him of the vow that he made. That God had made. And I'm sure that Jacob in that moment, if he hadn't realized it before, thought back to that vow that he had made and maybe realized that God had been faithful to give him all that he had promised. Now, not all of those things, you know, he was going to be bringing the people back and everything, but God had been faithful to do what he said he was going to do. And now he was calling him to go back to his homeland. I've actually always thought it was really cool that before this time, God was known as the God of Abraham and Isaac. And after this time, when Jacob was on his way back, from there on, when you're reading in the Bible and they talk about God, they call him the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That was the moment at which Jacob said, he is my God. Jacob said, I will take you at your word, and if you fulfill that, you will be my God. So God followed through on all that he had said, and Jacob claimed him as his God. Now I'm going to look at a few other scriptures here, but I want to ask a couple questions. Do you take God at his word when he says things to you? And then I want you to consider, in the places that I maybe don't, what would my life look like if I took God at all of the words that he has said? All of the promises that are in the Bible, all the promises that God has made to us, if we took him at his word that he will be faithful to follow through on those things, what would our lives look like? Now we're going to go through a couple scriptures, and I want you to tell me if you've heard them before. I'm pretty sure you've heard all of them, but I want you to. Psalm 139:14. Has anybody ever heard that reference before? Psalm 139:14 says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Have you heard that before? Okay. So do you see that God's works are wonderful? His works are wonderful. Just stop and think about that for a second. God's works are wonderful. Do you believe that you have been fearfully and wonderfully made? When you look at yourself in the mirror, do you go, yeah, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God did a great job on me. I don't know if we would say that or not. Maybe some of you. And then that might be a whole other problem if you wake up every morning and say that. I don't know. How about Jeremiah 29:11? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plan to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Okay, that verse, everybody knows that verse. A lot of people know that verse. Do you know that God has a plan for you? If you walked every day like God had a plan for you, would your life look different? Do you know that those plans are to give you a hope? To give you a hope. Like he has plans already to give you hope. So when you need hope, he already made a plan for that. He's already going to give that to you. It's in his plans. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. I can do all things through him that gives me strength. Now, this was coming at a time when you know, this was written in prison. And it says, I'm content. You know, the verses leading up to that says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I have known what it is to be in need, and I have known what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed, hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things. He learned that. He knows that because God said it. He's going to give you strength in all things. Do you believe it? I think sometimes we sit and we hear the scriptures and we're like, oh, yes, yes. And it gives you that warm feeling. But then when you walk out into your day, do you know that God can give you strength for everything that he has planned for you? And that those plans include the hope. Does your daily life show that your God can help you do all things? And do you walk that out with confidence? Isaiah 43:19. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and it streams in the wasteland. He's making a way in the wilderness. Have you ever felt lost? Like you're just kind of like, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing here. He's making a way. Do you wake up in the morning and go, God made a way? Sometimes it feels like we're in this wilderness and yet he's making a way. And when we feel like we're in a wasteland, he makes streams for us. He's making streams of refreshment for us in the wasteland. He's making a way. Do I trust that he's doing a new thing? He's the way maker. We just sang about that. He's the way maker. Praise you, Lord God. I'm going to do one more. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We were created by his hand, his handiwork. That means he actually like did that. And before he made us, before he even made us, he was preparing the things that he has for us to do. He was preparing them for us. How much time do we spend thinking that we aren't doing anything good, anything worthwhile? How much time do we spend doing that? Yet this verse says that we were created to do good works, and God prepared them for us. That's his word. That's his word. He's prepared good things for you to do. See, all these scriptures we know, and this is just a few of them, of all the tons and tons of scriptures. They're just a few of the, what must be thousands of verses that talk about us. And yet, sometimes we find ourselves, even as believers, that we're just disconnected from them. We're not walking them out. I believe that the Bible is the God-breathed word of God. He breathed it. It's his word. It is infallible. And that's the easy part, but it's practical and it's relevant. Right now, today, it's practical and relevant. It's where we find our purpose. We can see what it is. We can be reminded that God has good things for us, that he prepared a way. I also believe that the enemy of our souls wants that disconnect. Because he knows that if we truly walked our lives taking God at his word, we would be a force that he would have no defense for. If we truly took God at his word, we would be standing in confidence and authority. And what we would find is that the lost would be saved, the sick would be healed, and even the dead could be raised. Because that's what the word tells us. Our lives would be so different. We would walk in victory in areas that we never thought we could. We would be looking to God for our answers, and we would find freedom. This world is full of answers. They got tons of them. And I think even as believers, we look to them because they sound right. They sound good. I'm sure you've seen it all over the place. You know, the next best thing, how to cure this, how to fix that, what to do about that, you know, how to fix this mood and this, if you just do this little ritual thing, then you'll feel better and all this kind of stuff. People post on Facebook all kinds of things that, you know, this is going to fix that ailment and that's going to fix this ailment. And, you know, some are claiming to be the answer for moods and stress and anxiety. And I've seen posts that talk about, okay, I saw one post that said, we can't find our purpose until we find our people. All that sounds positive. But we need to be very, very careful. It doesn't take much to get off just a little bit. It sounds good, but God isn't good. I mean, he's good, but he's great. He's awesome. He's perfect. And so if you hang on to what sounds good in this world, you might miss God's perfect. Matthew 11 28 through 30 says, come to me, come to him. All you are weary and burdened, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. All he asked us to do was come, and he's telling us all these things that he's going to do. We know from this verse two things. First, it's completely normal to get weary and feel burdened. It's in the word. This is going to happen, so I'm going to tell you what to do. And the second thing we learn from this verse is that he's the answer. He's the answer. When you're weary, when you're burdened, he's the answer. Here's the thing. Do those answers to ailments and things that we find all over the place, do they work? For a lot of people, yeah, absolutely. You know, there's case studies on, oh, yeah, that made me feel better, and that made me feel better. That's how they get the backing behind them to actually move, is that some of those things, yeah, sure. But it doesn't solve what's down deep, what's really at the problem. I mean, what the problem really is. I thank God for doctors and thank God for my chiropractor, and I thank God for all the people in that God has put in my life to walk with me, to help me. Those are all part of his plan. But here's the thing. We have to look at, who are we seeking first? Do we seek the things that we can see? Or are we seeking the things that we can't see? My concern is, and when I looked at my own life, was that the response to go to things first or people first. I'm a talker. I know you never knew that about me, but I love to talk. And when I have a problem, there's people that I call and I'm like, you would not believe what is going on right now. And the Lord actually told me a couple years ago, talk less and write more. Journal, write down, you know, pray more. Sometimes we forget our ability that we have to respond with, God, I need your help. I need your direction, or I can't do this on my own, Lord. Or when someone comes to us, I'm so sorry. God can do this. Let's pray. See, God knows our needs. He knows our needs. And many times when you seek him, in fact, every time, he'll send you to the right place. The right person that will encourage you, the right doctor that will help you, the right medicine. He will send you to the right place. He'll bring people alongside us that will encourage us in our purpose. Society has us looking to the next good thing that just came out. But God simply says, we need his guidance. We need relationship with him. His word says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. Whatever it is that you need, you seek God, all these things will be added. He knows ultimately what we need. And with relationship with him, we are allowing him to reveal those things to us. When was the last time that you had a pain and your response was, Lord, I know that you are the healer of my body and I need wisdom on what to do about this? When was the last time you got frustrated with someone or something and your first response was, Lord, would you come and give me wisdom in this situation? Or do we go and talk to somebody about it? And then maybe later, oh yeah, I need to pray about this. I have a really great example in my life. I've always had a really great example in my life of prayer. My mom, if you do not know this, she is a prayer warrior. As a teenager, that's not so cool because every answer to everything was, let's pray about it. And it's like, oh, mom, you know. However, through that, I have learned the value of stopping in the moment and praying. And if I ever do that to you, blame her. No. No, it is a practice that you have to do. And I pray that God will just help me get better at that. God showing me that he wants to grow that even more in me. And that those times that I do that are great, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. Like, there is so much more. And the quicker I want my response to be to take things to the Lord. He wants my response more and more to come to him. Because the more that I seek his input, the more I hear his words speaking over me and speaking over the situations around me. Then I can take those words as truth, just like Jesus did. And trust the Father with my life. When the time was coming that Jesus was going to be arrested, he knew that was coming, and he went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And he didn't sit around with the disciples and be like, oh, you would not believe what I'm going to have to go through to help you guys out. I never saw in the Word where he said that. He took it to God, and he walked out the scripture in Philippians 4:7 that says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's a big thing to believe. That's a big thing to believe. That when I'm anxious in any situation, I can just take it to the Lord and he's going to give me peace in every situation. It talks about Jesus, how he navigated being overwhelmed by anxiety and sorrow in Matthew chapter 26, verse 37 through 44. It says, he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour, he said? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And then he went away a second time. And he prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." Why do you think he went away again? Because he did it three times. He went and prayed it, and then he came back, and then he went and prayed it, and then he came back, and then he went and prayed it. Why do you think he did that? Because it wasn't gone yet. The anxiety, the peace hadn't come yet. Or maybe it came, but as soon as he got back, have you ever had that moment with God where you just feel his peace and then you go around and be by your people and then you start, you know, getting into life and you're like, oh, that anxiety's back again. I can't, oh, I got to deal with that. I feel like in a way that's what Jesus was doing. He was like, you know what? Wait, got to go back to the Lord. And then he came back. Nope, not quite yet. Going back. Now, there's probably some things that he was teaching them and that, and I'm not going to get into that, but I'm just looking at him and how I would feel in that situation. Now, I'm not Jesus at all, and I would not respond well to knowing that I was going to be arrested the next day, and I would never, ever say that I'm anything, you know, I hope to be like him, but, you know what I mean. But that's not something that would lift so lightly. That's a heavy thing. He kept going back because he needed the strength. His friends were there, but he actually went away from them to get the peace and strength that he needed, not to them. And his prayer was, "Lord, your will be done." Did it change his circumstances? No, he still needed to go and do what he needed to do. But his heart was, "Lord, your will be done." See, Jesus had full confidence in God's word. And who God is, and what his abilities are. And this allowed him to walk into a daunting situation in confidence because he trusted the purpose of God in his life. Do you want to know God like that? Do you want in every situation to seek him first and be able to trust him? Do you want to be able to take God at every single thing, at his word, every single thing he says in the word of God about you? I want to be able to do that. I want to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that every promise that we have talked about and every promise that we didn't talk about is true. I want to believe it. If God said it, I want to believe it. And I can say, if I stop and I think about it, and someone says, oh, this is in the Bible. I'm like, okay, that's true. And then I go back, and my kids are doing this, and I'm running around all over the place, and I'm in my car all day or whatever. And then it's like, there's things going on. It's like, wait, but his promises are true. The word of God doesn't change because of where we're at in our crazy schedule. It's relevant, and it's practical for us right now. So I want to pray for us. I'm going to finish up here. And I want to pray for us. Because I believe that each one of us here wants to see fruit of that in our lives. That we would truly take God at his word. That our response to him would be to go to him and draw close. So that we can have that peace. So that the enemy would not have any defense against us whatsoever. He would have no plan because there wouldn't be anything he could do. The word of God is powerful, and God is powerful, and the enemy is not. And when we have that confidence in what God says, we get to walk as though we know it. We know it up here, but we get to walk like we know it. So would you stand with me? Would you just close your eyes? I'd like you to take everything that you know of God, all the promises, all the good things, the scriptures that you know, and I want you to put them in your hands, and I want you to hold them out in front of you. All the things that you know about who God is, all the words that he's given you, and just hold it out in front of you. And I just want to pray. Lord God, Lord, this morning, what we hold in our hands, Lord, is our faith. It's you. It's what we believe about you, what we know about you, Lord God. And Lord, we want to know you better. We want to grab a hold of those words, Lord, your words, the promises that you have made over our lives, the things that you have done, but Lord, the word of God, Lord, we want to, every one of those scriptures, we want every one of those scriptures, Lord, to be applied in our lives as though we know it is true. Lord, I pray that you would give each person, Lord, that has their hands out this morning, a new understanding of your truth, of what your truth looks like in their lives. Lord, I thank you for all the people that you have brought alongside us, Lord God, to help us walk through this life. But Lord, I pray that our response would be to you. Lord, it is all about you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just reveal to us more about you, Lord God. All that you say that you are, Lord God, is in our hands right now. That you are our comfort, our provider. Lord, you are the one who sees us. You are our shepherd, our healer, our peace. Lord God, all that we know of you and all that you say you are, we hold out to you right now. Lord, I pray that you would help us to take you at your word, that you would help us to trust you, help us to know you. Lord, I pray that you would take the roof off of the box that we've put you in as to what you can do and how relevant you are to our lives. Just open our eyes to see what you want to do in our lives. Lord, I pray that this word, your word, would be hidden in our hearts. Be hidden in our hearts so that we can just, it's always with us. It's close to us, Lord God. And that we would walk as though we know it to be true. And Lord, if there is anything that keeps us from doing that, Lord, if there are lies that the enemy has spoken over us or told us, or that things that we have bought into, Lord, that speak against your word, Lord, I pray that those things would fall right now in the name of Jesus, that we would be able to walk in your truth, that we would walk in freedom. Lord, I do pray that the lost would be saved. I pray that the wounded and the hurting, Lord God, would be healed. And I pray, Lord God, that if it be your will, Lord, that even the dead would be raised, Lord God, because we believe what you say. We believe what you say. Lord, your word is powerful. And we stand on that word and we know that word, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that we would just no longer have disconnect from your word. No longer have disconnect from your truth and what you're saying. And Lord God, we love you. We want to live for you, Lord God. Show us who you are. We love you and we thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing right now. And Lord, I pray that as we leave this place, we would take that word with us. In Jesus' name, amen.